Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us and how you can donate to help us fulfill our mission, go to hisloveministries.net. Thank you very much and God bless you.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, while we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
This is an in-your-face kind of section here this morning in the book of Romans. Remember last week we started talking about how in chapter 1 verse 18 that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men, because men do what? They suppress the truth, right? They suppress the truth. They hold down the truth. They don't want to know the truth. And so what do? They either argue with you or else they go into worse and worse sin, right? And then we saw that God showed us His creation by His invisible attributes. That's kind of like an oxymoron, that we see who God is because of His invisible attributes. In other words, we know there's a God because of creation, right? We also said conscience. We'll talk more about that later. But we know there's a God because of creation. And I was listening to a guy this past week, and I'd forgotten about that. But, you know, we talked about a couple examples of that we know that somebody made this building and all this facility because what? It just didn't happen, right? We didn't throw a stick of dynamite out in the middle of the woods and it blew up and bam, here's the building with all the lights and all the stuff, all the fancy stuff in here, the air conditioning. It just didn't happen, right? And the world's way more complicated, and the universe and all the universes and the way they work together is way more complicated than just one little old building. And so if we know somebody created this building, we know that God had to create all the other things. And so we see that we know that He made it, and He said that we're without excuse, right? And I said last week, even the people in the deepest, darkest jungles, they know there's a God. Like I said, we got all these missionaries that attest, no matter how far they go back into the jungles, that somebody back there, that all the people are worshiping something. They might be worshiping the sun or the moon or a volcano. I remember the old movie Volcano Joe, and they were going to throw the guy in the volcano because they thought the volcano was mad with them, and it was the volcano god, and so they were going to sacrifice the guy in the volcano to try to appease the volcano god, right? So we know that people worship all kinds of things, and it says that they are without excuse. So we said last week that even if a person out in the middle of the deepest, darkest jungle wanted to know the true God based on the revelation he had, that we believe that God would even crash an airplane and parachute a missionary in, right? If God wants you to hear the gospel, if you're seeking the truth, as John 7:17 says, if anyone wills to know his will, he will know the truth, whether it's from God or not, right? We're in verse 21 today, and he says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. This is really that same picture we saw, Romans chapter 1, verse 21. That same picture we saw back in the book of Ephesians. Remember chapter 4 in Ephesians? Some of y'all were here, some of you weren't. But he talked about that although they knew God, even though they know God, even though they know there's a God because of all this, what does it say? They were not thankful. And that's one of the first things that we need to remember, is we need to be thankful to God, right? Deuteronomy 26 verse 11 says, "So you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and your house, you and the Levite and the stranger who is among you." And we know James 1:17 says that every good gift, or verse 18 says every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father above, right? That he shines, the rain comes on the just and the unjust, right? And he gives us all good things. So they were not thankful. That's Matthew 5:45, "So that you may be the children of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." And then the next step down, this is kind of like a downward spiral into sin. They were not thankful. One man says, because they're ignorant, then they go into idolatry. They were not thankful, and then they became futile in their thoughts. In other words, they tried to find meaning, and people try to find meaning in other places besides God, right? I mean, that's why the bars and all the places do all these businesses, and why we got so many people locked up in jails and prisons, why people do all the bad things they do, is because they try to find meaning in other stuff besides God. They think that relationships and money and sex and power and all these things are going to give them the fullness that God can only give, right? And only God can fulfill us. Only God can satisfy us. Isn't that what he said in John chapter 6, where he said, "I am the bread of life, and he who eats of me shall never hunger, nor shall he thirst ever again." What's he talking about? He's talking about soul satisfaction, right? The moment you trust Christ, deep down in here, there's a satisfaction, there's a fullness, there's that emptiness that was there is gone. But the people that are out there without God, what are they trying to do? They're trying to fill up that emptiness in their life with all these other things. We know that great mathematician Pascal, he's not known for this, at least not in the secular world. He's known for being a great mathematician, but he said every man, woman, boy, and girl has a God-shaped vacuum in their life, and we try to fill it up with other stuff. But the only thing that will fill us up is Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "You are made complete in him." In other words, what does that mean? That means without God, we're not complete, right? And the only thing that can fill us and satisfy us and make us completely whole, we were talking about that the other day when you were talking about holiness. And what is holiness? It's really, one part of it is this wholeness. Because the moment Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and ever since then, all of us that have been born, we've been born without the Holy Spirit, and that's what makes us whole. Because we are dead in our trespasses and sins, but the moment we trust Christ, we become complete. We become the total complete person. And then we can do the things that God wants us to do. And so they suppress the knowledge of God, and they begin to worship idols. We say, well, we don't worship idols today, but look at all our shows, American Idol, who can dance, who can sing, and all these people, great entertainers and basketball stars and sports stars, and people worship all these people, don't they? Those are just some of the things we worship. Some people worship their houses and their cars and all kinds of things, right? And then lastly, he says, the last step is their foolish hearts were darkened. In other words, what happens? Their mind just gets dark. And they go deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. And so this ignorance leads to idolatry, which begins to lead to the impurity that people do in their lives. So he says, their foolish hearts were darkened. And in verse 22, he goes on to say, professing to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. It says, professing to be wise, they became fools. And that word wise is the one that describes a cultured and learned man in letters. It's the one in which we get sophisticated, philosophy, philosopher. And the word fool is the word that we get, what I said last week, I think I talked about this, that the word fool is the word moron. And a moron is not somebody stupid. When we were younger, we used to call people morons because they were we thought they were stupid. But the real definition of moron is somebody that knows the truth and refuses to believe it. And I talked about that Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool has said in their heart, no God, right? We talked about that last week. It's like going to the restaurant and the waiter comes and says, would you like some more tea? And you said, no tea. The fool has said in his heart, no God. None for me. I won't have any. And so that's what the fool says. He knows there's a God. He's without excuse. And because he's without excuse, he's not thankful. He becomes foolish in his thoughts, and in his foolish heart becomes darkened. People go down, down, down. People don't just start out murdering people, but they start out doing little things, right? And ultimately they progress to the big things. People today, I guess here in America, we've gotten really bad about that. If you look at the TV and look at all the stuff, it's just gotten worse and worse and worse. Most nations don't get destroyed from outside, but they usually destroy their own selves because of the wickedness and the sin in there. That's why we need to pray for this country. Pray for us to come back to America. Come back to God instead of being just all about America. I know it's great to be in a country and I love this country, but you know what? It's not really about this country. It's about God, right? That's what should come first in our thoughts is God. What does he say here? He said, professing to be wise, they became fools. In verse 23, they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. First of all, we see here the threefold division of the animal kingdom in verse 23, that there's birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. What do we worship? Man, right? One man said it was like this, that it used to, we named our cars after people like Ford and different things like that, you know, but Chrysler. But now we name them stuff like Viper, you know, which is a snake, right? Yeah. You Python and, you know, different things like that. I don't know. He talked about that being the progression that we started out naming it like that. And then we went to birds, Roadrunner and Thunderbirds and stuff like that. And now we're all the way down to pythons and vipers and stuff. We're also naming it after things like sunbird and different things like that, I guess idolatrous stuff. He says that we turn God into an image, that he's incorruptible. God is glorious, right? He's holy and he's pure and he's righteous. And what do? Instead, we worship all the things of the world that cannot satisfy, that cannot do anything for us. And we worship all these things. And one guy said, the people in the nations who believe themselves to be the wisest fell into the strangest beliefs about God. The barbarians worship the sun and the moon. The learned Egyptians worshiped an ox and an onion. And the Greeks adored diseases and human passions. And of course, we know the Hindus believe that an animal may be a relative and will not kill them. But if you try to kill one of their animals, guess what? They'll try to kill you, right? They won't even kill rats or anything because they believe it might be a relative or something. They said the Chinese worship the devil. We changed the glory of God into an incorruptible God into a corruptible God. And we worship all these other things, the birds and the four-footed animals and all kinds of other things. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:19, what am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. And so people worship all kinds of stuff, right? I remember going into one person's house years ago when I used to do pest control for a living for about a year and a half. And I went to these people's house and they had a little shrine set up in their garage with their little Buddhas and their little whatever statues and their candles. And they would get in there in the garage and they would light them up and worship, right? So that happens every day. These people, they worship other things besides God. And that's what happens here. We go down, down, down. And this is that progress. And then he says, therefore, because they were not thankful, they didn't want to hear about God, they were futile in their thinking, their hearts were darkened. He says, they worshiped the creature rather than the creator. He says, therefore God gave them up to the uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. What is he saying here? That this is not just something that happens, but God gives people up to their sin. That he turns them over to themselves. And when people say they don't want to know about God or they don't want to hear about God, God says, okay, well, I'll turn you over to do whatever you want to do. And people just go down, 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 down. But you know what? That's the bad news. But the good news is guess what? God can bring people back up again, right? Once he saves them and forgives them. He gives them up to the uncleanness and the lust in their hearts, the lust that's inside of them, to dishonor them bodies amongst themselves. What does that mean? That people are dishonoring their bodies. They're using it for all kinds of evil things. It's kind of like when Pharaoh, what did Pharaoh do? He turned his back on God and he hardened his heart. And then eventually what happened? It says God hardened Pharaoh's heart, right? And so when men consistently reject God, guess what happens? He rejects them. One guy, C.S. Lewis, said, there are only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, thy will be done. And those who say to God, my will be done. So they say, I'm going to do my will. Or we're going to say, I'm going to do your will, God. And you know, those that are in hell because guess what? They chose it, right? Mm-hmm. It says, and we talked about that in John 3:18. He said that they love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were what? Evil. If a person really wants God out of their thoughts, then love has decided that he'll give them over to that. God has decided, hey, if you don't want to know about me, I'll give you up. I mean, I've heard of people saying, well, God, if you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. And then something bad happened. They went out that night and got in a car wreck and died. Or one lady, she lived by herself and the preacher went to visit her and she said, well, preacher, I told God a long time ago, if you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. And she said, preacher, I can't be saved. I've turned my back on God. And she got so hard that she couldn't turn back to God. God doesn't cause us all these things, but what he does, he gives us up to it, right? Whatever a man sows, he what? Reaps, right? What's that old principle? One guy said it like this. You reap later than you sow. You reap what you sow, and you reap what? More than you sow. You know, that's how it is. You reap what you sow, you reap later than you sow, and you reap more than you sow. That's the principle of sin. It causes, one guy said, sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you ever wanted to pay. And that's what these people are doing. God, he loves us so much, and he hates sin so much. What did he do? He abandoned his son on the cross so that he could die for our sins, right? Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Don't ask me how God the Father can turn his back on God the Son, but he did it. And it said it pleased God to bruise him. By his stripes we are healed. That he poured out his wrath on his Son so that we could go to heaven, right? And so where he says he gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, this is really talking about sexual immorality. And this is where it really gets fun because he says here, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. So this is a good definition of idolatry, to believe the lie. What lie? That God doesn't exist, that Jesus isn't God. and they turn their back on God. 2 Thessalonians 2:9 through 12 says, "The coming of the lawless one is coming according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." So verse 24 and verse 25 makes it clear that all this sexual perversion that's going on today is closely linked with idolatry. These people have exchanged the truth about God's existence and the glory for the lie that neither exists nor merits worship. The whole bottom line is they worship and they serve the lie, and they worship the creature rather than the creator. You know what happens? People worship the creature or the creation rather than the creator. Idolatry is the proclamation that a biblical God doesn't exist. And so this thought is so abhorrent to Paul that what does he say? He says at the end of verse 25, he says right here, he says that the creator is blessed forever. Amen. He invokes his blessing. And then here in verse 26, he says, "For this reason." For what reason? Because they didn't want to know about God. They worshiped the creature rather than the creator, and they turned their back on God. "For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions." This is talking about sexual stuff. And this is why I say this is a fun lesson, because we're going to get into some stuff that it's not really pleasant to talk about. But, you know, the bottom line is what is he talking about? Vile passions. He's talking about homosexuality. And he says, "For even their women exchanged a natural use for what is against nature." In other words, it's gotten so bad, men are kind of, I guess, fall into sin and probably sexual sin more easily than women do. But he says it's gotten so bad that the women are even doing this. And Ronnie can tell you over at Coastal Harbor with all these kids and so many of them today, these young people, that, and you see it on TV all the time with all this homosexual stuff, that so many of these girls and stuff, they'll about fight you over, well, is it wrong? And they sit there and ask you and ask you and ask you, and you keep telling them, yeah, it's wrong. And they just about want to fight you over it. My wife, that was one of the things that she consistently dealt with all the time over there, is these girls dealing with being lesbians and stuff. That's one of the things that's so bad in our nation now. And that's one of the things that we're dealing so much with. And they're fighting everybody and they're suing people and doing all these things. And it's gotten really bad. And then it says, "Likewise, the men also leaving the natural use of a woman, burning their lust one for another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due." Not only the women were doing it, but the men also, right? And like I said, all you got to do is look on TV. Just about every so-called comedy today has got somebody on there that's a homosexual. They bring it into just about every show now. It's somewhere you're going to find it. They got a manifesto that they started 20 years ago pushing this agenda. And they've pushed this agenda. They wrote out this manifesto 20-something years ago and said, this is how we're going to bring homosexuality to the forefront. And guess what? That's what they've done. And now they're getting to the place where, guess what? That they are suing people. There was a case recently where a couple had a farm and they said they did weddings and stuff because they had a beautiful facility. And guess what? A lady came and she said, well, we want to get married. He said, oh, well, we can help y'all. And then she said, well, let me call my girlfriend. And they said, oh, well, we don't do that kind of wedding. And they sued. And they got $30,000, I think, from the people, $33,000 from the people. $10,000 of it was for counseling for the couple so that they can get their mind right about, okay, I got to go to mandatory counseling and realize that I'm supposed to take up and do whatever, believe whatever these people is doing is right. And the rest of it went to this couple and stuff. There was a pastor somewhere else, and they refused to marry some people. And what happened? They got sued. So these people that had this farm, you know what they did? They like closed down their business because they're not going to do that. You know, and that's what it's come to. So he says they received a due penalty of the law of sowing and reaping. So what was against the law, and probably still is on the books of a lot of states. Did you know that law is, you know, is still on the books about a man and a woman? A lot of places that's against the law. Man with a man and a woman with a woman. But you know what? Now what was wrong is now turned into what's in the eyes of society is right. And it's a sad place that we've come to. But that's the downward spiral of sin that we're into. And that's why we need to really pray for our country, pray for our leaders, and pray for all these people that don't know the Lord. And instead of hating these people, we need to lovingly confront them and bring them to Christ. And so he says that they receive the penalty of their error, which is due. What does that mean? That they ultimately receive things like AIDS. That's one of the things that's been caused by all of this. And different diseases that are killing people. What does it say here? The men leaving the natural loose, they received a due penalty of the error. And in verse 28 it says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. So these people have gotten to the place where they don't know right from wrong. They just don't know right from wrong. And because they have done this, they're receiving these penalties of their lifestyle. And like I said, you know, when you live that way, I go out to the jail almost every week and the prison almost every week. And all you got to do is look at these people's lives and you see they are receiving the penalty of what they've done. They're locked up. They've lost their freedom. A lot of them have lost their family. They've lost their loved ones. They have nobody that really cares for them anymore because they've used and abused every single person around them. And guess what? They're to the place that they don't even trust them anymore because they say, I can't trust you. I can't believe you anymore. You have used me and abused me so much. And many of them have lost family members that, you know, seems like when they go into prison, I've seen a lot of them, they lose family members. It seems like about half their family dies while they're in prison or jail, and then they don't even get to go to the funerals or anything because they have to pay their own ways. And so they're receiving all these penalties because of the way they're living. Like I said, sin will take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay. He says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. That word knowledge means basically moral knowledge. They did not want to keep him in their mind. They wanted to just say there is no God. He says, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. So in other words, he gave them over to a depraved mind. What's a depraved mind? It's a play on words that because God is because people may have disapproved of God, guess what? Now he disapproves of them and he gives them over to a depraved mind. And what are they doing? They basically, this is a mind that's been tested and found useless. It speaks of, you know, testing like metals and things like that. So he gives them over to that. And then it says in verse 29, he says, well, they do those things which are not fitting. Verse 29, then he describes a bunch of words here, and we won't spend a ton of time on each one of them, but we probably know what most of them mean. But a list of words that describe shameful human character, shameful human conduct, and shameful human conversation. Yeah. Verse 29, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to the base mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same thing, but they approve of those who practice them. So what does he say? Unrighteousness. This is shameful human character. Unjust, unfair treatment of others. Wickedness, doing evil and taking pleasure in it. We know what covetousness is, wanting other stuff and doing whatever it takes to get it. You might even hurt either other people to get it, right? Maliciousness is a desire to injure and get revenge. It means to have ill will towards somebody. And then there's shameful human conduct. What does that mean? To be full of envy. Envy is worse than greed, because envy is really a jealousy about what other people have. You wish that they didn't have it, but you had it. You're jealous of them, right? Greed's just wanting something, but envy is worse than that, because it wants what other people have and it wishes that they didn't have it. Strife is to be quarrelsome, to pick fights with others. And then there's also shameful human conversation. Whispers or gossipers. We know what that is. Speaking behind people's backs, right? Let me read on here. Backbiters. What's a backbiter? Somebody that takes pleasure in speaking of evil of their neighbors in public, not caring that others said it, causing public scandal and humiliation to others. And then they were haters of God. We know what that means. They just hate God, right? Insolent talks about being violent. Arrogant means think they're better than other people. Boastful, I'm better than other people. Look at what I've done. Contrivers or inventors of all sorts of evil. People invent new ways of sinning. They're always thinking of some new way to sin. What was it, the old guy that we sing to him? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. What did he do? He used to try to come up with all kinds of new ways to commit sin. But then he fell so far into sin, and then God got hold to him and saved him. You know, he became one of the leaders to stop slavery back in the 1800s. And of course, we know he wrote that great song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a what? A wretch like me. Then he talks about being disobedient to parents. That's kind of surprising. That's in that list, right? But you know, that's one of the things that we deal with over at Coastal Harbor again. A lot of these kids been disobedient to parents. They won't obey, and they're senseless. In other words, they're without moral understanding. They're covenant breakers. In other words, they don't keep their word, right? They're heartless. They have no natural affection for others. They're ruthless. We've seen these women that have been on TV in these court cases where they went out and drowned their children. That's without love. I mean, I can't imagine somebody drowning their own kids. They're ruthless, just totally devoid of any kind of mercy. And they love sin for sin's sake. In other words, what's the last thing he says here? Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, even though they know that God exists and they know what's right and they know what's wrong, that they not only practice those things and they are deserving of death, but they also approve of those who do them also. In other words, what do? They don't only damn themselves, but they want to bring other people along with them too, right? That's what he says there. That's the bottom line, is they not only want to sin, but they want to bring others along with them too. In this world, it's getting where more and more that is right is wrong in the majority of people's eyes, and wrong is right. If we look at our leadership and we look at our nation, our leadership is really just a reflection of our nation, with our sins uncovered and in our face for the whole world to see. Because what happens? He turns us over to those things that we want, right? And if a majority of people are living in sin, what do you get? You get sinful leaders, right? So there's two lessons in Romans 1. Because all have sinned Only the grace of God can keep us from living the way these people have in Romans 1. And the opposite of sin in Romans 1 is that which is mentioned in verse 16. The gospel of God, of Jesus Christ, is the power of God unto salvation to who? To everyone who believes, right? So God wants to forgive. God wants to save. God wants to work in people's lives. But we need to be his vessels to share the gospel. I know this was a tough lesson and it was hard and it was a lot of stuff that we really probably didn't want to hear and cover. But unfortunately, we can't close our eyes to all that's going on around us. And we have to see what's going on and we have to know so we can do what? Pray for our country, right? Pray for those people that don't know the Lord. Pray for those that don't come to this service, that don't know the Lord or don't want to come or maybe believe in a false God. That they're not believing the truth and Jesus Christ is the only way to get to heaven. That's what we need to believe, because the Bible says that there's salvation in no other name but in the name of Jesus Christ, right? And God is no respecter of persons. In other words, the gospel's for everybody, right? It's not just for a few, but it's for everybody. So let's pray and let's close today. We'll sing one more song and then we'll be through. Father, we just thank you again for your grace and your mercy and love. And we ask that you would just speak to hearts here today, Lord. Help us to just remember how much you love us and how much it cost us, cost you to die on the cross for our sins. You sent your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Father, if there's one here that doesn't know you, I pray today that they would cry out and just say, Lord Jesus, save me, I'm a sinner. And you said, whoever calls on your name shall be saved. So work in hearts today, Lord, that they would take you at your word. Remember that you are God and that you are the one that we're to worship, not these other things in this world. So, Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for everything that's been said and done here today. And we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Those in the nursing home facilities are locked up in bodies that do not work, in a wheelchair, or in a bed. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems. Some have told us we want to have a real family because their parents have lost or given up custody of them. Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up at the jails and the prisons, to those locked up in addiction, to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, to those locked up in a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us abundant life, joy, and set us free, and these people that we minister to are not free. Our desire is to show them, whatever their background, no matter what they've done, to see how much God loves them. We seek to help them receive forgiveness and freedom from their sin in Jesus Christ. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding Effingham and Chatham area. We have recently expanded our ministry to the Lexington, Columbia, South Carolina area. We do over 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you will support us in some way that so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the Donate Now button or send it via regular mail to Post Office Box 1881, Lexington, South Carolina 29071. We hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you and God bless you. And you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. John 8:32.